God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a church I read about where the pastor and the minister of music were not getting along. As time went by, this began to spill over into the worship service. One time, the pastor preached on commitment and how we should dedicate ourselves to the service of God. The musical director led the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The next week, the pastor preached on tithing and how we should give gladly to the work of the Lord. And the director led the song, "Jesus Paid It All." The third week, the pastor preached on gossiping and how we should all watch our tongues. And the music director led the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." Now, with all this going on, the pastor became very disgusted over the situation. And after church, following worship, the pastor told the congregation that he would consider resigning. And the musician led the song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" And it came to pass that the pastor did indeed resign. On his last sermon to the congregation, the pastor informed the congregation that it was Jesus who led him there, and it was Jesus who was taking him away. To which the music director led the congregation in the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The moral of the story is that the moral of the story is to pay attention to the songs that Jan picked out, because there might be something else going on that you might be unaware of. No, that's not really the moral of the story. The moral of the story is that the church is not perfect. It is made up of imperfect people, and people being imperfect bring their imperfections to the church. The devil is the world in our flesh. It's not just out there where we live most of our lives. It is right here. Only doubles us. You see, Satan doesn't have to work very hard with those who are not following Jesus. They are already part of his kingdom. So he can put most of the attention on you and me, the children of God. If you've been a part of a church all your life, you have seen angry church members, pastors who didn't do so, the king ordered that all the man's possessions be sold, and that the man and his wife and his children be sold into slavery. But then, the king had a change of heart. He forgives the man his entire debt. Now let's just pause for a second and note what happened here. The man could never have paid back what he owed. The king knew that, but he had pity on the man. This tells us something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is always an act of grace. No, the king did not set up some kind of requirement about what the guy could do to make amends. He didn't ask the man to say, "I'm sorry." He didn't set up a repayment plan. He didn't ask the man not to do it again. He didn't ask the man to acknowledge how much the man had disappointed and hurt him. He forgave the debt. The story continues. As the man leaves the court of the king, he sees another servant. The servant owes him some money. Not a lot of money. Maybe $100. He seizes the man, and as the scripture says, he begins to choke him, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." The servant falls on his knees and pleads with him, using the same words that the servant did before the king. "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But instead of having pity on the man, he threw the man into prison until he should pay the debt. What a fuss. I wonder if you realize just how much we have first been forgiven, or do we as Christians just take it for granted? Think about this. Every time we gather in worship, the first thing that we do is make a confession of our sin. And every Sunday, without exception, God forgives our sins for Jesus' sake. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when Pastor Bright tells us to reflect on our need for forgiveness because of our sins that my mind goes to other places. You know, I really don't feel like a poor, miserable sinner. Ironic, isn't it? In the midst of my confession of sin, I see it. So, the king here, what has just transpired, has summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" Now here's an important principle about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't originate in us. It begins with God. It's what the servant who refused to forgive didn't understand. It wasn't about him. It was only about God. We only choose to share the forgiveness that we have already received. We forgive because held hostage to these notions. We are chained like a dog on a leash, unable to reach the destination we desire, what God Christ has for us. In the story, we learn that if we refuse to forgive one another, we are in the jail of our own making. The parable ends with these words: "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Forgiveness is essentially a matter of the heart. This is hugely an important point, because most of us think that forgiveness is primarily about what we do or what we say. But it is quite possible to mouth words of forgiveness while harboring anger and bitterness within. Forgiveness begins in the heart and works outward. It's a decision made on the inside to refuse to live in the past. Lewis Reed has written a book called The Art of Forgiveness, and he says there are three levels of forgiveness. First, we discover the humanity of the person who hurts us. That simply means that without the new